If your appliances can't handle the holiday hosting heat, December deal drops at Lowe's makes upgrading easy. Get up to 35% off select major appliances, and rewards members save an additional $40 on the Whirlpool electric range and the over-the-range microwave. Plus, get up to 60% off select ladders so you can deck all the halls. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/10. While supplies last, selection varies by location. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, we're back, and we're going to listen to a clip here, folks, about property tax. Property tax is not a lawful, it is not a lawful tax. Now, God has ruled on that, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
God says you don't tax his property, okay? Mm-hmm. No. The Bible says the earth and the fullness thereof belong to him, right?
Yes.
And so... And then it also tells you you don't tax his people, right? Yeah. But anyhow, but we have to be cautious because we're up against a very, very sly enemy. When we come back after this clip, we'll have Style explain the whole thing, why you got to be very careful on this.
Gladly.
Because, man, I tell you, he's been really something the last couple of days. Good. A lot of attention.
Good. We want information.
You know, Paul Schiffer had a good program tonight, and he was, you know, talking about Marx and Satan and that. And, you know, we've been talking about that for a long time, and Paul was right on. I mean, he was right on the money.
Wow. Good.
But it kind of worries me to see that him and Style get together because, well, they're kind of a strange. I better go to the clip.
Six Ohio cities: Cleveland, Columbus, Cincinnati, Akron, Toledo, and Dayton. There are nearly 300,000 properties behind on their taxes. 279,000 delinquent properties. That's not homeowners struggling a little. That's not people missing by a month here and there. That's a mass wave of owners that can't afford their property taxes. Now, here's the part nobody in the media wants to say out loud. Those six cities represent only 20% of Ohio's population, which means when you extrapolate the tax delinquencies in these major cities, we could be looking at between 500 and 750,000 total property tax delinquencies in the state. Yes, you heard me right. 500,000 Ohioans at least are behind on their property taxes. This is not some people are having a small problem. This is a structural failure of the entire property tax system. When nearly 500,000 households fall behind, you're not looking at just a small problem. You're looking at early stages of a potential foreclosure crisis and housing market crash. And I think that's the part almost everyone is sleeping on. Now, let me show you the real world pain behind these numbers. One of my viewers said, I live in a rural area in Medina. Property taxes keep going up and up. It's ridiculous. Can't afford to stay here anymore because the property taxes are through the roof. Another viewer said, our taxes went up $2,000 in 2024 from $6,000 to $8,000. How does this happen? We haven't made any improvements, but the taxes keep going up and up. We're seniors who can afford to pay the increase. But what about the people that can't? I'm mad as hell that the politicians keep giving excuses and keep kicking the can down the road. We need to hold their feet to the fire or vote them out. But it's not just senior citizens and boomers that are having an issue. Younger home buyers are in the same bind with property taxes. Here's one on my channel that said, I'm seemingly one of the few millennials that bought before the giant boom in 2021. And got a low interest rate. Every time I look at my breakdown on my mortgage statement, it blows my mind that insurance and taxes is by far the highest portion of the total payment monthly. Our family makes decent money for the time with little debts. I have no idea how people who are entering the market are doing it. And another young viewer said, thank you so much for making these videos. People really need to see this data and understand what a huge problem this is for so many hardworking Ohioans who can't find housing. These costs are leading people into homelessness And it's really sad how unaffordable things have become. Millennials have experienced the most unaffordable schooling and housing. Make no mistake, this is not a generational thing. The county auditors don't care how old you are. Property taxes are crushing Ohioans of all ages. Retirees on fixed incomes, and certainly first-time home buyers that are locked out of the market. As a realtor, I work with these people every day, and many are shocked when they realize what their property tax bill will be once they move into their new home. For many, it feels like there's no solution and no escape. That's not hope. That's not stability. That's not a future. That's a nightmare waiting to happen. Now let's break down why property taxes keep rising. One of the main culprits has been the insane rise of property values throughout the state. In fact, according to Zillow, home prices in Ohio continue to run up. On average, the typical house in Ohio is now 51% more expensive than it was in 2020. And in some locations, it's 100% more. At the same time, you have counties and schools demanding more and more money for services and education. And that's the brick wall that Ohio homeowners continue to slam into. The system doesn't care if you're a first-time home buyer trying to build your future wealth. If your valuation jumps, your property taxes jump, period. And that jump is happening at a rate Ohioans simply can't afford. This is how you get 500,000 Ohioans late on their property taxes. Now let's talk about the big bad wolf that could be coming soon for the Ohio housing market. Tax delinquency is one of the first stages of foreclosure. Here's how it works. Penalties and interest continue to accumulate. You get further behind and it grows faster than you can pay it. Your county sells the lien to an investor. That investor adds their own fees and interest and penalties. Eventually, you're foreclosed on. Here's an example of one of those investors now. From the research I've done, it looks like this company here, TaxEase, which is actually based in Texas, has contracted with counties throughout the state to slam Ohioans with massive penalties and tax delinquent interest that continues to pile up to a point that the homeowner has really little choice except to sell their property or face foreclosure. And many counties will do this because they can get their money up front from this investor, and then the investor gets to enjoy massive profits from the insane penalties. Now, I plan to do some more investigating about taxes in the future. If you know anything, hit me up. My email is in the description below. One of the things about property taxes that are way different than mortgages from a payment plan standpoint is many times with a mortgage servicer, you can at least plead your case and get some type of relief depending on your situation. But with taxes, it's you pay or you leave. And I can't stress enough how much these penalties will add up. Trust me, as somebody who's missed a property tax payment before, the fees and the penalties are insane. So when you think about all these tax delinquencies throughout the state, imagine what will happen if a lot of those enter foreclosure. And when you have hundreds of thousands of properties tax delinquent statewide, this is a slow crash that almost no one is talking about. You want proof? Check this out. This is a small sampling of the tax foreclosure sales that are happening in the little county I live in just outside of Columbus. And what I'm seeing are more and more foreclosures because of tax reasons, not mortgages. And I think as we move through the next couple of years, you're going to see a lot more tax foreclosures. But the good news is Ohioans are not sitting quietly anymore. Across the state, there are multiple citizen-led grassroots groups that are battling this property tax extortion. Some of these groups are pushing for property tax reform. Some are pushing for the complete abolishment of property taxes. These are survival organizations. People are coming together because, quite frankly, they don't know what else to do. To put it bluntly, they're sick and tired of being extorted for unrealized gains on the paper value of their property. And at the end of the day, it's unconstitutional. Although that hasn't stopped the lawmakers, politicians, and grifters from dipping in our pockets and taking our money. Now, I've interviewed several of these groups on my channel. The link for those videos is in the description below. If you want to understand what real Ohioans are doing to fight this property tax theft, those interviews will open your eyes. Now, don't get it twisted. I really enjoy my local school system here in the small town I live in, I also enjoy using the public services, and I have no problem paying for those and supporting the teachers and staff of the amazing schools. And I think many of y'all feel the same way. But tying a bill to the unrealized gain on my house? No way. Kicking senior citizens out of their homes and blocking first-time home buyers from having a chance to buy? I don't think so. We need to fund public services. We need to fund public schools. But the current tax system is definitely broken. Now, what comes next? In the short term, unfortunately, I think it gets worse. Even counties are admitting that property tax bills will rise again. They're warning people. They're preparing people. And the next valuation cycle is already locked in. More seniors will fall behind. More first-time buyers will be priced out. More homeowners will be sucked into the delinquency pipeline. And more neighborhoods will see foreclosures hit the market. That's the near-term reality. Long-term, there are conversations happening. There are reform ideas on the table. There are citizens-led groups pushing for change. But none of that stops the tax bills that are coming right now. None of that reverses the pressure already building in the system. This crisis is not slowing down. Now, if you're a homeowner that can't pay your property tax, what I'm advising all Ohioans is that property taxes are here right now and the bills will probably continue to rise, at least for the foreseeable future. Now, many of y'all have asked me, what happens if home values drop? Will we see relief in property taxes? I mean, after all, they're based on the value of our home, right? So you would think if values drop, the property tax bill will drop. Well, I'm not counting my chickens before they hatch. I'm anticipating these bills continue to go up. As a landlord, it's one of my largest expenses every year I have to shell out. And the more my taxes go up, the higher I have to charge for rents. So even renters feel this pain. You just may not know it. Now, I hope you learned something on today's Ohio Housing Nerd video.
All right, we're back. And folks, there you go. Now, we have to be cautious. Now, on a week from Monday, in fact, December 15th, from 6 to 8 p.m., Vivek Ramaswamy, who is going to probably be our next governor here in Ohio, and we certainly don't want Amy Ashton, I can tell you that. Anyhow, I'm going to be out there introducing him along with the good folks out there at the Top Notch Diner in Cortland, Ohio. And the Top Notch Diner is one that I highly recommend. Their food is good, but here's the main thing. They are patriotic to the hilt. They are, in fact, back when, I put them on the radio because back when they were trying to tell us during COVID that we had to, no more than 10 people at a time could gather at the church and had to do the social distancing and got to wear masks. I went on the radio and said we were not going to do any of that, or doers of the word. We were going to obey God and we were going to have a church. Well, guess what? They came out and now the restaurant serving food, they took that stand too and they were being sued out there. They didn't come after us, but they went after them and they called me. I put them on the radio. We turned out for them. We stood in and supported them. 100, and they won their case. They won their case. And so, but anyhow, Vivek Ramaswamy is going to be there, and he needs to hear from you folks about this property tax. He really needs to hear from you.
Yeah,
he probably wouldn't be too happy with me if he knew, and he might know.
What's that date again, Pastor?
That is the 15th, a week from Monday, December 15th, from 6 to 8 p.m., and I'll be out there to MC it.
That's Cortland, Ohio.
That's the Top Notch Restaurant Diner. It's 682 South High Street in Cortland, Ohio. And, yeah, you can you guys want to come out with us. Now, that's Pledge Week, so we go right from there, right back to here. And so, anyhow, now we're going to have Spunky. He is going to tell us about the cautions we have to take, because he's a pretty smart young guy. And so
he's very smart. Yes. I always appreciate his input.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, you remember Samson had all that hair and his strength was there? You know, somebody else, he's got a lot of hair. I mean, he's got a lot of hair. Okay. You think that's where his smarts are at?
Oh, my goodness.
I don't think so.
Anyhow, Go ahead, Spunky, lay it on us.
So property tax is something I take very seriously. It's something I follow very in-depth as a homeowner. The video mentioned homeowners, young homeowners who bought their houses right before the dip, or before the increase, rather, I should say. I purchased my home in May of 2021. By the end of July 2021, that inflation had seen almost triple the percentage. I, since 2021, have paid almost four times as much, almost $3,000 more in property tax alone. That's not including mortgage or insurance rate increases or adjustments. That's property tax alone. The video mentioned something very important, that citizen-led property tax groups. I am a founding member of Ohio, or Homestead Heroes for Ohio. The reason that group exists is because of the legislation we need passed in Ohio versus what's being levied in Ohio. There's been a bill that's been going around, or a proposal that's been going around, rather, for almost a year now. It's a petition to completely abolish property tax. And I was all on board for that a year ago. It sounded awesome. I think most people would agree if you present them with, hey, we're going to completely wipe out property tax. It's not going to exist. I think most people would say that's awesome. That sounds great. Let's do it. The thing that that bill doesn't encounter is the fact that if we completely abolish property tax, that's not just for you and I. That's not just for seniors or first-time home buyers. This is for companies, LLCs, and organizations, meaning companies like BlackRock, Amazon, Microsoft can buy up large quantities of land in Ohio much easier, much cheaper, and not have to worry about property tax on that land. That makes the housing market more volatile. That means that makes less houses or land for you and I to even purchase in general, not including property tax. But that makes more big industry in Ohio in terms of data centers, operation centers, taking advantage of this legal loophole. The reason that I am one of the three founding members of Homestead Heroes for Ohio is because we acknowledge that complete abolishment will actually end up doing more harm than good. We are all for abolishment of owner-occupied homes in Ohio. That means if you are a private homeowner, not an LLC, not a business, not a company, if you own your home, you should own your home and the land it sits on. One of the big things we talk about is people 65 and up, if you own your home, should not be paying any kind of property tax whatsoever. We've also stated that we believe that new or first homeowners, first-time home buyers, should be given evaluations that don't match this inflated evaluation currently. They should match pre-COVID evaluations or something similar, because to expect a first-time homeowner to be able to afford a home within a year and not be priced out of it at the current rate is unthinkable. We also believe and have recently discussed the fact that active duty members, firefighters, EMT, police should all be exempt from property tax in general. Obviously, the goal of this is for abolishment of everybody in the state of Ohio who is a private homeowner, who their primary residence is in Ohio, should not be paying property tax. But it's not as simple as slapping a petition out there and saying, oh, abolish it all, because that invites too much nefarious deed from LLC and corporations. The other thing that we strongly believe is you hear people say, how are we going to make up the funds? How are we going to do that? We're going to cut schools. We're going to cut infrastructure. We heard in the video. We don't have to. And this is the other thing that groups that are pushing this petition aren't bringing up. I try to stay as informed as I can on this matter. These people host town halls where they have guest speakers and they discuss these things, and I think that's a great cause. The problem is, the last time I tuned into one of those, when it came to the issue of how are they going to fund it, their answer to this was, let the government figure it out. They put us in this. They need to figure it out. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. The people that made the system so broken to begin with that are telling you it's not feasible right now are not going to come up with the money to fix this. That's not going to happen. If you present them with the evidence that we have the money now, which we currently do, to fund this, they will not have an excuse that we cannot. We need a roughly $20 billion if we want to eliminate property tax for Ohio homeowning citizens. 36% of that $20 billion, 36% is made up for with our provision that homeowners should not pay property tax. LLCs, corporations, rental properties still pay property tax. That makes up 36% of that $20 billion already. We have a 10% made up in administration cuts. This is not cutting school staff. This is not cutting lunch ladies or bus drivers or anything like that. This is school boards that have overcrowded school boards. There is no need for 18 administrators for a school district with 50 kids. That is an administrative cut that does not put anybody out in hard times. There's a bunch of these provisions. We have a rainy day fund that accounts for roughly $1.5 billion. We have unclaimed money that we have sitting in an account that's roughly $1.5 billion. We have different abatements and TIFs that are active right now that would accumulate to $3 to $5 billion. In total, we make up for over $20 billion of funding that we could cut, that we have mapped out. I encourage everybody to check out Homestead Heroes for Ohio on Facebook for more information, because that complete breakdown is there. But the moral of the story is, homeowners, residents of the state of Ohio, should not be paying property tax. It is unlawful, and there is a very viable way to make up that money. It is laid out in black and white. And complete and total abolishment will end up hurting homeowners more than it will helping them, because that allows for corporations to buy up land en masse.
Very well said.
Amen.
And yes. For all you people that said Style didn't know anything, he just showed you. All right, there you go.
That's very right. Good. Hey, Style, I know where you can get another $2 billion.
Where's that?
Let's go over to Somalia and get that money back from the terrorist organization.
Well, you don't have to. Just go to Columbus. They're all moving. A lot of them live down there.
Yes.
That's where all that big money, the trafficking money is.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyhow, speaking of that, you got an article right there.
Yeah, can I just say a prayer real quick on this situation?
That's right. Pray for those folks.
Amen, amen. Father God, we just come before you, Lord God, because we know that prayer is a weapon, and you said that men ought to always pray and not to faint. And Father, we also know that you hear the cries of your people. And so, Father God, we know that the word says that a false weight is an abomination unto you. And so, Father God, we are asking you, Father God, as we look at some of these programs that have been instituted on your people, Lord God, and are causing hardships, not just for the elderly, but for many home buyers or people that own homes, Lord God, we are asking, Lord God, for your intercession in this, Father God, just as the widow came before the unjust judge, Lord God. Father God, we know that your word says that you will avenge, Lord God, the righteous, Lord God, that you hear the cries again of your people. And so, Father God, we lift up our petition to heaven, Lord God, and even in this upcoming where they're going to this meeting with Vivek Ramaswamy, Lord God, we pray, Father God, that the people will come out in Ohio, Lord God, that they would come out and really, in a way, give them an earful, because we want to fight this on every front, Lord God. And we thank you for Homestead Heroes. Lord God, we're asking that in every way that these different organizations, Lord God, continue to apply the pressure, get the message out. But Lord God, we're looking for you, Lord God, and asking you for you to move in this situation in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. For that. Go ahead. You had an article there, brother.
Yes, I'm sorry. This is, where is it? Yeah, there, that's where my party has gone. This is the Democratic, strategists reveal major reasons why voters have stopped listening to the Democrats. And it says, Democratic strategist Michael LaRosa said Friday on Fox News that his own party's relentless use of extreme rhetoric pushed voters away. Hunter Biden said on Wide Awake podcast that journalist Miranda Devine was hideous inside and out, and implied no one would care if she died. During an interview on the Ingram Angle, LaRosa responded to a question about how Democrats could defend Biden's fiery language, which former President Joe Biden has repeatedly praised. LaRosa didn't mince words. My party has been out of control with the hyperbole, the aggressive rhetoric, the Nazis, the fascists, the autocrats, all this stuff. LaRosa told guest host and former Republican Utah Representative Jason Chaffetz, voters are now turning out, and they're not even listening to the Democrats anymore because of the alarmism, because of the hyperbole. As LaRosa put it, Hunter Biden claimed he was speaking truth to power. He wants Democrats to turn the temperature up on calling out verifiable lies when MAGA pundits are parroting verifiable lies, LaRosa said. Those are his words. That's what he goes on to say. But I don't agree, and I don't condone all of this rhetoric, because if everybody's fascist, if everybody's Nazi, no one is. And that's where my party has gone, and we have got to stop. LaRosa said Democrats are losing voters because they've relied too heavily on inflammatory language instead of persuasion. It's really a disservice to history and to the people who actually suffered under dictatorships and Nazis and things like that. So that's where I disagree with Hunter, LaRosa said. But that's what he's saying, is that Democrats need to turn the temperature up on Republican pundits who are lying, according to him, according to what he goes on to say.
All right. Very, very good. Lisa, you have an article there.
Okay. Now, this is by Bob Unruh. Free Tina. Trump labels Colorado governor a sleazebag for keeping elderly woman in prison. Trump's comments targeted the case of Tina Peters, a former Mesa County clerk who was unfairly convicted of what the Democrats do, cheating on elections. In fact, the leftist court system in Colorado, which is run entirely by Democrats in the executive branch, through the Democrat majority legislature and into the all-Democrat state Supreme Court, which is so far left, its members unsuccessfully tried to remove Trump from the 2024 presidential ballot, convicted Peters of 9 counts for her acts of trying to preserve records from the 2020 vote. Trump said, quote, "The sleazebag governor of Colorado, Jared Polis, refuses to allow an elderly woman, Tina Peters, who was unfairly convicted of what the Democrats do, cheating on elections, out of jail. She was convicted for trying to stop Democrats from stealing Colorado votes in the election. She was preserving election records, which she was obliged to do under federal law. She has now served more than 1 year in jail and has 8 years to go. On top of everything else, she's a cancer survivor. This lightweight governor who has allowed his state to go to hell should be ashamed of himself. Free Tina," unquote. The Washington Examiner explained Trump decided to scold Polis over the case involving alleged unauthorized access to the county's election system. Interestingly, the Democrat Secretary of State in Colorado, Gina Griswold, allowed hundreds of election systems' passwords to be posted on the Internet, and she was given a pass over her behavior. It was District Judge Matthew Barrett who had claimed, while sentencing Peters to years in prison, she, quote, abused, unquote, her position. Quote, "I am convinced you would do it all over again if you could. You're as defiant as any defendant this court has ever seen." Barrett ranted in extrajudicial comments at the time, quote, "You are no hero. You abused your position and you're a charlatan," unquote. The Examiner documented Peters was found guilty on, quote, 3 counts of attempting to influence a public servant, 1 count of conspiracy to commit criminal impersonation, first-degree official misconduct, violation of duty and failing to comply with the Secretary of State. Peters has maintained her innocence.
You know, when we were reading from here from Jay Menifee's book, and from Charles Finney, where he made that statement when he said, "If our politics becomes so corrupt that the very foundations of government are ready to fall away, the pulpit's responsible for it." Colorado's politics are so corrupt. I mean, here there's 4 or 5 blue states that are really bad. One in Colorado, I mean, is really satanic. Even the airport there in Denver, if you look at all the satanic, their house and senators, I mean, you were right from the pit of hell. They're loaded with Satanists, Antichrist people. And here we have one hero, that little lady.
Yes.
Should have been out of there. She never should have been there. She did her job.
Yes, she did.
And you have a corrupt governor, and that judge should be in jail. That judge should be in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyhow, that's who if I was king, that's what would happen there, because she did her job. And again, under the Biden, now Trump needs to get her out of there.
Yeah.
And,
yes.
And I know that Trump, you know, is under federal. He can pardon federal, but that's not a federal case. But he could. I know what he could do. He could put the pressure, and they should charge that judge, and that governor. They should criminal charges for what they did. They violated her First Amendment rights in that. So
yes.
They should really go after her.
Yeah.
Alrighty. We'll be back right after this.
Shepherds guard and angels sing. This is Christ the King, the Babe, the Son of Mary.
I think we made that song right about somewhere right around 2000, you know?
Really?
Mm. Yeah, that was Esty Christmas, and she went home to be the Lord. She had a beautiful voice.
Yes.
And, she came from Israel. She was moved over here, and she got converted when she became a Christian. She was disowned by her family, and she was offered $1 million to denounce Christ. She was impoverished at the time, and she attended our church, and I was her pastor. In fact, we recorded that song right there at the church.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How nice.
And anyhow, Brian Park and myself, there's the three of us there in that song there. But she, again, her father was a colonel in the Israeli army, and he wanted her, he offered $1 million to denounce Christ. She refused to do it. When I preached her funeral, he asked me not to mention Jesus. I said, I said you got to be out of your mind. That's why exactly why I'm here. And he says, well, can you at least, because for her mother's sake, not to mention Jesus too much? I said, I'll promise you I won't mention him too much. And so there you go. But Esty went home. What a beautiful voice she had, huh?
Yes.
Very sweet song.
All right. You got an article, Richard.
Yeah, this is interesting. Eric Swalwell is constitutionally disqualified from running for governor of California.
Oh, wow.
This past Thursday, Congressman Eric Swalwell declares his candidacy for the governorship of California despite being constitutionally disqualified to run. At the center of Swalwell's disqualification is that to become California governor, the candidate's true primary and permanent home must be in the state of California. The California Constitution and the California Election Code leaves no ambiguity on this point. And yet, Swalwell's own legal binding mortgage document state, signed under penalty of perjury, that his home is in Washington, D.C., and is his principal residence. This means Eric Swalwell, by his own sworn declaration, is not domiciled in the state of California. And because domicile and not mere mailing address is the standard for eligibility according to the California law, Swalwell is legally disqualified for becoming governor and must withdraw his announcement immediately.
Well, you know, his qualifications are he sleeps with Feng Feng, who was a Chinese spy.
Yeah.
That's what he was qualification. And then he tells lies about Christians and conservatives. I mean, I've never heard Swalwell tell the truth. Not one time I've listened to see what he was going to say.
That sounds like a qualification for a California governor.
Absolutely, it is nowadays. Yeah. Yeah. But speaking of governors, guess who's going to run for governor, who's already filed the paperwork to run for governor of Minnesota? Believe me, you like this one, Mike Lindell. My Pillow founder and staunch Donald Trump supporter, Mike Lindell, filed paperwork Wednesday to run for governor of his home state, Minnesota.
Wow.
I'm 98% sure I'm going to, Lindell said in the interview Wednesday, according to the NPR report. The businessman said he wasn't making a formal declaration just yet, but it would be likely to occur on December the 11th. And I got to get this open so I can. Lindell's 64, was active in disputing the 2022 presidential results, insisting that there was coordinated vote fraud. There was tremendous amount of voter fraud, and anyone and everyone that says there wasn't a liar and there's not a bit of truth in them.
Yeah.
In fact, just recently, they just found there in Arizona, again, another whole big pile of illegal votes. So the voter fraud was over the top. It was absolutely over the top. The Pillow Pitchman held conferences with computer voting experts and explored the 2022 election fraud. In September, a federal judge in Minnesota ruled that Lindell defamed the election technology company Smartmatic with false statements about 2020 election. According to NPR, Lindell By the way, that company was involved with the other one, the another major company that was involved with so many corruption. Was it 170-something companies out of Maduro, out of Venezuela. He was the one that was running a part of that. That's what they did. They learned how to rig elections, and he was put in there by Obama. Okay, so that was the main hub there, is right out of Venezuela. Okay, according to NPR, Lindell would make a dozen Republicans trying to unseat Democratic Governor Tampon Tim Walz in 2026. A GOP nominee could be chosen in any August primary if a state convention endorsement doesn't clear the field in May. Democrats wasted no time slamming Lindell after the filing, some calling him a sleazy businessman with an extreme agenda. That's their way of calling him honest. His interest into the race is a better pillow for Minnesota Republicans to swallow. Democratic Governors Association spokesperson Izzy Libby said it is a written statement. Let's see. Well, that was it.
Yeah, I'd like to see him run. He seems to have a good heart, and yes. He's an honest man.
Yep. You have an article, Little Lisa.
Okay, and this is by Jim Hoft. A sitting Democratic member of Congress from Broward County, Sheila Cherfillis McCormick, surrendered to federal authorities Tuesday in Miami amid explosive allegations that she orchestrated a scheme to steal and launder $5 million in FEMA COVID-19 disaster relief funds and used a portion to bankroll her 2021 congressional campaign and purchase a luxury yellow diamond ring. The 46-year-old congresswoman appeared in Florida federal court in handcuffs following a 15-count federal indictment issued last week. She now faces charges including conspiracy, theft of government funds, money laundering, making and receiving straw donor contributions, and filing false statements on her federal income tax return.
Omar there, she's in a lot of trouble, too, and she's right in the middle of all that Somali.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, her and Tampon Tim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But here, Minnesota Somalis expressed strong preference for Sharia law over U.S. law. A man on the street video made in Minneapolis, Minnesota shows interview with several Somali Muslims who said they'd much rather live under Sharia law than U.S. law. Well, under Sharia law, you know, you can marry a 10-year-old girl if you want, okay? In fact, you can marry several of them if you want.
And women have no value under that.
And they have to wear those head bags.
Yeah.
And so, anyhow, that would be... I don't think Sharia law is what I'd like.
Right? No.
Well, how can that be even an option in the United States of America? I mean, that doesn't even make sense to be able to have Sharia law in a constitutional United States.
It's because the Democratic Communist Party, which is Marxist, have formed an unholy alliance with radical Islam and to promote Sharia, okay? And they're working together. Remember, they say, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Their enemies are Christians and Jews. And that's the reality, okay? And so that's why they have all those little encampments all over the country. And this is where, they have sleeper cells all over the country, too. And so you need strong, very strong people got to stand up and stand behind our President Trump.
That's right.
Little by little, he's weeding a lot of this stuff out. Like I said, don't expect anyone to be perfect, but, boy, I'm going to tell you, it's a lot better than anything we've had up until now.
I don't think little Lisa would like having to wear one of those burkas either.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. Gee. Well, how do we know that, though? Let's put one on her.
Oh, goodness.
And give it a few days.
Yeah, for a week or two.
A week or two, yeah.
Yeah.
And, And so, no. When you wear a burqa, that doesn't mean that's all you wear, Lisa.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, so you just, we don't want you getting in more trouble than you're in already, all right? All right, put a gun in his mouth and pull the trigger. Ha-ha. Mm. Republican gets vicious threat for defending student who got a zero for championing the Bible. Oh, by the way, yeah, there's a lot more of that coming here. Woolley had expressed support for Samantha Fulnicki, a student at the University of Oklahoma who was given a failing grade by Mel Kurth, a graduate teaching assistant who was a man pretending to be a woman.
Oh, dear.
Many, many Democrats do that nowadays.
Yes.
Curtis condemned the student's reference to the Bible and faith, instead insisted she should adopt the teacher's ideologies. The teacher has since been removed from the classroom. I imagine that girl's father would like to remove him from
life itself.
Yeah. Right. I support Samantha in this. I read the SI, Woolley said. As a former educator, I don't see how that could receive a zero when she turned something in with a significant amount of writing. It kind of makes me wonder if there's potential bias preferences taking place with this TA's grading. As elected officials, our duty is to protect God-given rights of the people, their constitution and freedom, and to ensure responsible stewardship of their tax laws. He noted, well, anyhow, there you go. There's more and more anti-Christian. In fact, there's a situation that just come up recently, and that was where a judge ordered a woman not to take her daughter to church. It's because the divorced father said is an atheist and said, I don't want her learning any religion. And so the judge sided with the father and not the mother.
Wow.
And so here I'm going to see if I can. I had that article here, but it was, here you go. Mom battles judge's order, banning her daughter to daughter church. Okay. Here you go. Here's the article. I think I was actually. The Maine Supreme Judicial Court is weighing whether a lower court oversteps its constitutional limits when it barred a mother from taking her 12-year-old daughter to church services and restricted her from exposing the child to Bible teachings. The case Bickford versus Braden has drawn attention for its unusual scope and the border questions it raises about parental rights, judicial neutrality toward religion, and the evidentiary standards used in family law disputes. At the center of this case is an unusually sweeping custody order that barred a Maine mother from taking her 12-year-old daughter to church or exposing her to Bible teaching. Restrictions, the mother argues, violate her constitutional rights and exceed the authority of the family courts. The state's high court must now determine whether judges can curtail a fit parent's religious practices based on findings of potential psychological harm. You know, that judge should be charged with treason and violating that woman's First Amendment rights.
Yes.
And so, you know, you know what?
The institution of marriage, that's the whole thing is people aren't understanding what marriage is.
And you know what? We got 5 minutes to give the invitation, so Richard, we'll start with you.
Sure. When we come to this point in the program, we always want to talk about salvation and what salvation is. And salvation is trusting in Jesus Christ totally. And when we talk about that, it's not just accepting Jesus and along with any other God or any other person to worship. God is a jealous God, and when we worship God, and we say we turn our lives over to Jesus Christ, that means we turn our whole lives over to Jesus Christ. You know, you may have seen like American Indian with their totem poles, and they have all their gods stacked up on this totem pole and that. And a lot of people look at that, and when they say, oh, I'll accept Jesus Christ, that's just putting Jesus Christ on the top of their totem pole with all their other gods, and that's not what God wants. God is a jealous God, and he requires us to be able to turn our lives over to him. The first thing we need to do is understand who Jesus Christ is. He is God in the flesh. He came through a virgin. He walked a perfect life. He shed his blood on the cross for our sins. And he died on the cross, but the key is he rose again on the third day. And it's absolutely proven that he did. And now when we turn our lives over to him, we can have him as our Lord. Go ahead, Randy.
Yeah, you know, I was at a funeral service today, and they had begun speaking, of course, about all of the good that the person had done in their life. And while that was true, it took me back to the scripture that talked about in Psalms. It says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. It says, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. And they are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And as I thought about that, I thought about the difference between our lives and, of course, what, as you were just talking about, Jesus Christ, our Savior, what he came to do. And we need to know that that was that perfect sacrifice. And I want to say this because we stand up for righteousness on this radio station, and there are many people that see injustices that are happening. But if you are listening to this program and you see all of these injustices, but yet you haven't done anything for your own life to make sure that you have that penalty paid for, that sin paid
one
for
minute.
By Jesus Christ, you need to accept him tonight, because it won't be a good day if you don't have him as your Lord and Savior. So we would invite you to just call. The Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you do that, you can be saved. And then get in touch with the radio ministry, What's Right, What's Left, and have further ministering.
Bottom line is, folks, how do we know that all of this stuff we're saying is true? Well, listen, I'll tell you who testifies. All of creation cries out and gives testimony of their creator. All of creation. It's impossible to have a creation without a creator. And God's word, the King James Bible, is the only and the authoritative and absolutely perfect description of how things came to be. We're out of time for tonight. Thanks for all of you being here. I want to say have a Merry Christmas, all of you out there. And as we always say at this time, good night.
Good night.
God bless.
God bless.
And always, keep fighting the fight.
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 Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints, Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.